sitting on my right and on Lisa's right as well, our Gene Nolan, the organic gardener. Gene, how are you?
Happy to be here.
I'm so glad you're here. And Jill Niewohner.
Good morning.
And they're both here because they are going to be speaking at the Good Food Festival in a couple of weeks. And folks who've been listening to my show know that I've been talking about that and promoting it for the last couple, because I am an official media sponsor, whatever media sponsor means.
Congratulations.
I can tell you there's no money involved, but that's all right, too. But I'm glad to have you guys. Now, you might remember Jean because she was here last summer. I see you've got your book here, From the Ground Up. And how's it been doing?
Oh, it's going great. I've gotten a lot of feedback from people that they're inspired to start growing their own food. There's a lot of how-to information, and it's going to be published in Taiwan, which is fun.
Woo-hoo!
It's being translated right now.
We need a bell or a rim shot or
so
something.
So that's kind of strange
Taiwan.
And fun. But really having fun, having my book out there.
You know, I have to ask you something about the book, because it's not your typical foodie book. It's not your typical how to grow stuff book. It's a story.
And
it's your story.
It is.
And along the way, you explain these things. But I know I talked about this last summer when you were on the show talking about the book. It's very, very personal. Any regrets putting all your life out there for everybody to see after 6 months or 8 months of having people talk to you about it?
Absolutely none. Actually, the opposite. I'm definitely having that experience where I've put myself out there honestly, and in exchange, I get people communicating with me in a really meaningful way. I'm just loving it. You know, it's really deepened all my relationships.
You know, this is amazing. So our buddy Bill Curtis, who does the 1 minute, what's it called again?
Earth Matters.
His endorsement of the book, I didn't expect a book about the food movement that would turn out to be a can't-put-it-down page-turner, but that's just what From the Ground Up is. Wow, that's quite an endorsement.
It is. It is a story
You're
about...
You're grinning from ear to ear here.
And if you read the book, it's, I can guarantee... It's not what you expect. That's and I mean that in a good way. It is not what you expect. You will still learn about organic growing and actually, that's what makes you so interesting, Gene, and unique. You came out of a time when very few people were doing this. You know, ended up in a place where folks were doing organic growing, but you were considered fringe.
Totally.
And now it's mainstream.
Right, right.
And so you had a head start on everybody, in a sense. That's why one of the things I noticed is that you can go to Facebook and look up the Organic Gardener Limited, and yours shows up. You had to have been one of the first, you know, to be able to get that name on Facebook.
Right, right. I mean, when I went to learn to grow food, I was 18. It was 1987. And people sure looked at my parents and me like, that's weird. She wants to go be an organic what? An organic farmer?
Uh-oh. I just have to say that more food just arrived.
I know.
A platter full of incredible olives. Wow.
This is turning into a Monty Python movie, okay? That's what's
the food is piling high.
The food is piling.
It's multiplying.
I can't see anybody beyond the food.
It's not too much food.
So I'm reading here, too, that you started with the Chicago Lincoln Park Zoo.
Yeah, right.
Over in the children's section.
The gardens we operate there, they're called the Edible Gardens.
Right.
And my team and I do that on behalf of Green City Market, the farmer's market across the street, and we're entering our 10th season there.
Wow.
And actually today, so there's been an ice skating rink on top of our garden all winter, and it's coming off today.
Oh, what's
so
today
we'll see how it's doing under there.
Well, what do you mean it's coming off? How are they going to peel it off?
I don't know.
I mean, it's 9 degrees
maybe
outside.
Maybe they're keeping it going longer.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll keep skating on top of our garden.
I know I got an email from them saying, hurry, you're running out of skating.
For the last skate. Mm-hmm. So we've got a fig tree under that ice skating rink and all kinds of stuff. We're hoping it's doing well.
So you have all this experience, and of course you are speaking again at the Good Food Festival. It's the 10th anniversary of the Good Food Festival, and of course the links are all at my website, mikenovak.net. If you go to this week's show, you'll find that out. That Thursday is the Good Food Financing and Innovation Conference. Friday, the trade show School Food and Policy Summit. Friday night, the Localicious Party, which is always
Woo-hoo.
A blast. Yeah, so all those crazy organic people.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. And wine and beer. And then Saturday, festival and workshops. And you're going to be part of that. And the woman sitting to your right, Jill, new owner, is part of that, too. Your website is mamagrows.com. You can also find her on Mama Grows on Facebook. And Twitter.
And Twitter.
And we've got some people tweeting here. As a matter of fact, I've had some people retweeting the information. Oh, Sarah Batka wrote. She says, I wish I was with you at Colatex. Sounds like you're having so much fun. No, we're not, Sarah.
No,
really.
You wouldn't like any of the food, Sarah.
No.
We miss you, Sarah.
Don't worry about that.
Actually, I want to rub it in. Sarah, you would really love the food.
And Mr. Brown Thumb retweeted, or favored, actually, funniest gardening book ever written, Attack of the Killer Asparagus. So I'm glad that people are out there. This is my book. Okay. Now, unlike you, Gene, you had a real publisher and Bill Curtis doing the thing on the back. Okay. Yes, you're a real publisher, Kathleen, but it's kind of in-house.
Wow. Are you in trouble when you get home tonight?
You bet I am. I'm in so much trouble. It's a smaller publisher than the one you had.
There's a lot of ways to write books.
Yes, there
are. This can be done.
Yes, there are. And that's the point.
Via many different paths.
I guess the point is, if I can publish a book, anybody can. Anybody can do this. So let's talk a little bit. And we'll get to Jill in a second, because she's the mushroom grower, which is so cool.
I am.
And I want to start first with... No, let's start with the mushrooms. What the heck? This is crazy. Why would we not start with mushrooms?
I know Mighty House listeners are ready for this conversation.
I know, because they were talking about it yesterday.
Someone called in from Wisconsin, and she was growing mushrooms. Well, actually, she was harvesting. Harvesting? Do you harvest mushrooms? Do you forage a mushroom?
You can forage. Harvest would be a little tricky in this weather, but maybe.
So, yeah, so she was talking about that, and then Mike started talking about the logs. And
right. Okay. Right. The idea, I guess, and sorry, Gene, you just got put on the back page.
I'm easy. I'm happy in my chair looking at the good food.
Bill Curtis acknowledged her book, so
right.
She's in heaven over here.
Yeah. You were, when we talked on the phone the other day, because I didn't know much about what you do. And Bart probably wants to hear this, too, because he's going to want to grow his own mushrooms, I'm sure, in the back, in the parking lot. But you were telling me you order like 100 logs, and then you roll them into your backyard. And then you inoculate them, whatever that means, and then you wait for a rain. Is that kind of right?
That's pretty much the process. So I started
It seems a little too easy.
It is easy. I started my first log under my dining room table in New York City, and now I've progressed to having them outside, which is much better.
Wait, you can do this inside?
You can do it inside. Then you have to force fruit them by putting them in ice cold water. So you can do it inside. People with balconies and...
I have no outdoor space.
Yeah, it's a nice way to do it. But the easy way to do it in a small backyard is you buy the mushroom spores, you put it into the log with
a
drill.
So where do you get mushroom spores?
There's places online to buy it.
I would assume that this is one of those things where you're not going to walk into a store and get mushroom spores. You're
no.
going to have to do it online.
Correct. And there's certain times a year where you can get them. So you want to inoculate your logs in this climate, in the spring.
I got to tell you, inoculate your logs. The FCC is listening. I don't even know where we go with that. But that's not something people do every day, inoculate their logs.
Well, they're going to be here in Chicago, because there's quite a few of us who are very interested in this, and it's a nice way to grow your own food in your backyard if you have shade or if you don't have a lot of space.
All right. I'm going to invite people, if they've got questions, because I know there are going to be people who say, who've never heard of this, and they're going to want to do it themselves, or more likely, they're going to call and say, I got this log in my backyard. Should I harvest some mushrooms and have them for dinner?
No, definitely
is
not.
Is that the short answer?
That's the short answer. So I grow shiitake mushrooms. They're cultivated, and I use red and white oak. You don't want to just go out and eat whatever mushroom happens to be growing in a tree in your backyard.
I can't just find a log that fell from a frozen
tree out of my in the street.
It is possible. You want, when we inoculate logs, we use freshly cut logs because, as you know, mushrooms grow not by photosynthesis like plants. They get their energy from decaying material from the wood. So if the wood is already too far decayed, you won't end up getting any mushrooms.
All right, 773-763-9278.
Yeah, I'm sure there's questions.
I know there's questions because the whole mushroom thing sounds fascinating and scary at the same time because you really got to be careful about what you're putting in your mouth if it's a fungus.
Correct.
How dangerous is it? Is it to just walk out in your backyard and try to harvest mushrooms?
I would not do that unless you put them there yourself. So I know which
logs. And how do you know that when you put them there yourself and you inoculate them, you're getting the right mushroom? Don't you have to do some ID on them?
You do. You do. But I know what mushrooms I've put into these particular logs. They have drill holes, so the mushrooms grow out of the drill hole.
I get to use power tools, too?
We do use power tools. It's a fantastic.
Power tools in my own house. I just make the cold. I can do all these
and
things.
And hot wax, too. You seal it up with hot wax. So
even more fun.
Then they burst out like Alien?
They do. So it takes about a year for them to overtake the log when you put the material
in. And then the log comes into your house and raids your refrigerator?
No.
And
it grows legs.
Hang out in the backyard and go through the seasons, and in about a year they'll start growing.
About a year?
It takes about 6 months to a year for the mycelium to fill in the cellulose of the log.
So there's no, it's not like gardening where there's the instant gratification. I mean, you can have lettuce in a matter of several weeks.
Correct.
You've got to wait a little bit longer, huh?
You do, but once you get them going, they'll fruit for 5 to 10 years.
On one log that you just get going and
then
it replenishes itself when you harvest?
Exactly. Wow. So you usually harvest twice a year, two flushes a year, and then it'll
keep going.
That's
what you call them. Now, something else you told me the other day that I was fascinated by was there are two things that make mushrooms fruit in general. And one is rain, so that if you get a rainstorm, you're likely to see a flush of mushrooms after the first year, right?
Correct.
But a drop in temperatures as well?
Correct. So usually there's a 20-degree drop, which will trigger the mushrooms to grow. So in the spring, when it starts to warm up, is when you typically get your first flush, depending on the strain that you use. And then sometimes in the fall, again, when it starts to get colder, you'll get another flush, which is why right now I have a log in my bathtub that is...
I beg your pardon?
It is in my bathtub soaking, so that for the Good Food Fest, I hope to have a log to show with some mushrooms on it.
And it's been there for a year?
No. It's been in my backyard for a year.
Oh, okay.
But I brought it in from the snow.
I misunderstood.
And warmed it up.
So you start. When did you start that? A year ago?
This one could be a few years old.
Okay.
I've got about 100 logs in my backyard.
All right, that's the other thing. You say you got 100 logs. Do you give them away? Do you sell them? How does this work?
I do. So I'm teaching a class June 7th at the Oak Park Conservatory to help people inoculate their logs. And you'll get to walk away with a couple logs.
Would you stop saying that, please?
It does sound a little naughty.
Just so I have it clear, I can have help inoculating my logs.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
For those of you who don't want to inoculate on your own, this could be a group effort.
Yikes. Where did we go off the rails? That's what I want to know.
I
think this is
where
we started this 10 o'clock.
The whole world inoculation.
Yeah. And how many different kinds of mushrooms do you grow?
So I stick to shiitake mushrooms. I have about 4 different strains of shiitake mushrooms.
Why? Do you just like them?
They're my favorite. They're the ones that I use the most in cooking. And they're the most difficult to grow. So there's a lot of mushrooms you can grow in coffee grounds, and you've seen the kits all over that you can grow in different substrates. They're a little bit easier to do, but shiitakes are sustainable. They continue to fruit year after year, so they're my favorite.
So unlike a traditional garden where we're looking for sun, as Gene knows, it's like that's your prize resource is sun. Yours values shade, I would imagine.
Absolutely. I have
how much shade? I mean, do you need some sun, or is it could it be the
you
just
do
a black
need
hole
some,
or what?
No, you do need some sun. Some mushrooms people grow in their basements. Shiitakes definitely need some sun, and they need the fluctuation in temperatures and seasons.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. By the way, I'm just so fascinated by this. That is,
I know.
Jill,
I want to do it.
Jill Niewoehner from MamaGrows.com. MamaGrows.com. Again, if you've got a question or a comment, 773-763-9278 is our phone number. We would love to hear from you. All right. So what we will do now is segue to the traditional, which is not so traditional in your case, Gene.
Right.
No, I know. It's weird. It's like there's is there anything that we would call ordinary at this table? Lisa, you don't fit that either.
Oh, thank you.
And that's a good thing.
It is a good thing. It is a compliment.
That's what makes it fun.
It is absolutely a good thing. We are with our friends who are speaking at the Good Food Festival. Good Food Festival will be happening at the UIC Forum. In 2 weeks, it is the 13th, 14th, and 15th. Now, most of you are going to be interested in the 15th because that's the big festival day. There are lots of workshops. There's lots of booths. I'm going to be there just waving and saying, hi, how are you? And WCPT will be there. And the two women on my right will be there, and that is Jill Niewoehner, who just told us about mushrooms, and Gene Nolan, the organic gardener. Okay, your turn, Gene.
Okay.
Yay. And your workshop is going to be, you're not inoculating your log, I guess.
I am not.
I'm not sitting in your bathtub right now, right?
You are correct. I think that I have an hour and 15 minute slot on Saturday.
And that's part of the difference here, too, that they want me to note is that you the workshops, some go 3 hours long, some go like an hour 15. Mm-hmm. Jill, you're doing 20 minutes.
Doing 20 minutes.
And some and it's for people with attention deficit problems. But I mean,
well, apparently it only takes 20 minutes to inoculate your dog. It's a quick process.
Wow.
Sorry.
That deserves a rim shot too. But can you get out everything in 20 minutes?
Absolutely not. This is not a full class on how to inoculate mushrooms. Yeah. It's just a quick talk about what I do. And show people some pictures and some things. It's not the time of year right now to inoculate anyway. So
there's special seasons.
Yeah.
So at the festival, we'll just be doing a quick overview.
Now here we slid back.
Sorry.
To Mama Grows.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay.
We're easy. It's all about food. That's what counts.
But that's the point about the Good Food Festival. There's so much you can do at different tracks you want to take. You can slide from a 20-minute seminar to an hour 15. What do you? You and I have done seminars together.
And that was fun.
And Gene. Peggy Malecki is your moderator this year. I guess I got replaced by Peggy, huh?
But is she's it? Only moderating me.
Why is it? Yeah.
There's not like a panel.
Yeah, we've had panels.
I mean, you've moderated us when we're a panel.
Yeah.
You know, and done a good job
I have,
at it.
I heard the cats together.
Right, exactly.
What do you plan to do in an hour and 15 minutes to teach people about organic gardening?
Well, I'm doing a slideshow, so a PowerPoint presentation, lots of pictures. And we're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to talk about planning for your garden and what you need to be thinking about in the more, pre-digging phase. Then we're going to talk about what you can grow here in Chicago, when you should plant it, what crops do well easily.
Well, okay, let's stop right there because folks are looking outside and going, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. When am I going to be able to do this?
And that is the big question, when, but it is inevitable. The snow will melt.
No, it's not. Not inevitable.
And then
at
it will be wet, and then the snow will dry a bit.
And that's a problem because we talked about that on the show last week, the idea that if you get into your garden too soon and you compact your soil, you're in a world of hurt.
Right. It is going to need to dry up a bit.
What do you tell people about when to tell when the ground's ready for planting? It's because some people want to plant. They want to sow seeds as soon as the ground's, warm enough, because you can do the cool season veggies.
Right, you can.
Set. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, we typically start planting around April 14th. We don't think we're going to be able to do that this year. We're probably going to be about a week later than that.
You're already planning that. Yeah,
I know. We're already bumping our schedule up, and, we've got 150 gardens to plant, so...
You mean
your
company, the Organic Gardener
exactly.
Limited. Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and your other garden at the Lincoln
Park
Zoo.
Right.
is under an ice
rink.
It's
under an ice rink, so that's going to take some work to get that ready, too.
Were the Blackhawks playing there yesterday?
Right,
is that what happened?
Yeah. It's a little small for that.
Yeah, I think so. But that's interesting to know that folks who normally do this need to set their sights back a little bit, just relax a little bit.
And for most of us gardeners, the first step of the season is to aerate our soil, add some compost, add some organic fertilizer.
Mm-hmm. Are you a fan of doing that in the spring or in the fall?
So I've done it both ways. Here, we typically do that in the spring.
Uh-huh.
The problem with, I have found, preparing soil in the fall is then you get a lot of compaction from the snow.
If we have snow, because we don't always have it, as you know.
Right. So,
So you're saying this snow here is already compacting soils.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're
nodding too, Jill.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. You know, if you're growing in a raised bed, and your soil was, you know, filled to the top at the beginning of last season, it's gone down 6 inches by now.
Yeah.
So we're always bringing in a lot of compost and aerating the soil.
One of the great things that your book has at the back of it in the appendices area is 10 lists of 10 essentials for every aspiring gardener. And I've got three of those lists here because they're the ones that I just happen to be attracted to. And the first one was how to grow a food garden in 10 steps. The second one, let's get to it here. Was, and I can almost find it.
Want me to say it?
10 ways to tackle weeds and pests without chemicals. Oh, you've got the book. See, I've got it, a printout here.
Well, and she wrote it. She kind of knows.
Well, that's true. She might know that.
I bet this isn't her first rodeo.
I've written things that I don't remember, okay? And then 10 easy to grow vegetables for the beginning gardener. Let's start with the first one, how to grow a food garden in 10 steps. What's the mistake people make right out of the gate?
Most common mistake is... I'll get a phone call. You know, I tried to grow a garden, but nothing grew. And I'll say, well, where'd you plant it? And, well, I put some carrot seeds in with my flower bed. And I'll say, well, did you prepare the soil specifically for vegetables? No. So that's common right there. It's a misconception
that
vegetables can just grow anywhere. You need to put some forethought and planning.
Especially a carrot, because it's got to go down
exactly.
And expand. And if the soil's not friable, if it's not loose, the
right.
carrot's not going to do anything for you. And if you put it in with your flower bed, chances are the carrot's getting shaded by the flowers
right.
that you had.
Or munched by a local bunny who's hopping by.
But I do have to ask you about carrots, because it took me a couple of years. I finally got the beets thing down.
Okay, very good.
That was,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Good.
That was tough. It was like the first year they were just awful. Spindly and nasty and all right. And then we got this really great compost from Mark Moxley at Lake Street Landscape.
Oh, yeah. So, they've got great stuff.
Oh, I love Mark and
he's
his outfit.
They're wonderful.
If I had the bell here, I would ding it right now.
Good
people. And that was kind of the trick for the beets is that just have this really good soil, give them plenty of sun, give them room. Then I went after potatoes. I've gotten into this ground
the
thing.
Roots. You're feeling rooty.
The root crops. And the last couple of years, last year in particular, I had great success with potatoes.
They are so fun to grow.
They really... we got a question coming up in just a second on the phone. I'm glad to hear that. And then this past year, I tried to do carrots, not very successful with the carrots. And one of them was the thing that I'm using my wisdom and what I learned, which is they got shaded out by some of the plants around them. I put things a little too close together. So
that'll
this,
do it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking this year carrots, I'm throwing them out there by themselves. Mm-hmm. This is the carrot patch. Nothing else near it, and let them and have really good friable soil.
Yeah, the soil's really important for carrots.
And somebody else who was growing carrots told me, I said, "Well, what's your secret?" And she said, "I just plant so many seeds that it's something's bound to happen."
Oh, well, that
there
could
you go.
Be
that's
dangerous.
That would be my solution. Just throw it all.
You can get an opposite effect, which is where you overseed the carrots, and then they just all grow teeny little carrots all mashed together. So.
Yeah. So be, you got
to well, throw you, in you, a lot of seed to start and then thin them.
And when do you thin the carrots?
Usually thin them when they're about a couple inches tall.
Yeah.
And you know, think about two carrots growing next to each other. So you want to thin them to a couple, 2-3 inches apart. You want to give them some space.
Okay. Well, let's take that phone call. Denny, who have we got on the line?
This guy's name's John in Zion.
John in Zion, welcome to the Mike Novak Show, and thank you very much for calling. What's your question?
Well, we've been having problems with the potting soil lately. A couple of years ago, I started out with Schultz, and that worked great because it was super soft and stuff. And then the following year, because I couldn't get Schultz, I went to Miracle-Gro, and Miracle-Gro is garbage. Because I end up taking... I've got 5 gallon pails, and I've got out on my patio, I try to grow plants, you know, in buckets. And so I end up taking that old potting soil up north to my other garden that I have up there. And I put the Schultz into the raised garden, and I let it sit for a couple years, you know, by still using the soil by planting. But the last year I went back up there to replant in it, and it was just like I got done rototilling. It was that soft, and I felt that was the best. But I can't find Schultz's anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here one of the things about potting soils, potting mixes, one of the things I realized after years of doing this, and I would go and talk to people about their soil and compost, and I realized that we were thinking two different thoughts, that I would be standing up there and talking about compost, and I was thinking of a big pile of it that you got from a place like Lake Street Landscape Supply, and then the people I was talking to in the audience were thinking of it in a bag like mm-hmm. Schultz, and there's a disconnect there mm-hmm. because I don't even buy that stuff anymore. And some of it can be good. There's some good products out there. But I want something that's fresh. I know that the biology is kicking in it right now. So I'm happier doing that. Now, what do you say to somebody who, Gene, has been using a product like this and needs to get the nutrients in the
right.
soil?
Right. So a question for you, John, just so that I'm clear. Are you looking for potting soil to use in your containers, in your buckets and pots where you're growing veggies, or are you looking for it to grow in your in-ground garden?
It'd be like in the pots because I can't keep taking it out of the garden.
And that's good. You're on the right track here because when you are growing in a pot, you do want to use a potting soil.
Right.
It's got the fertilizer in it.
It's got the fertilizer, but it has two other things that you want. It has elements in it that make it light and fluffy, a little better than just using straight compost in a pot. And it also has elements that help it retain moisture because, you know, in a pot, in a container, that's really key. You know, my words to you would be to, at this point, go organic. You want to look for a certified organic potting soil. Fox Farm makes a great one called Happy Frog. Locally, even better if you can get the potting soil made by the folks at Cowsmo. They're up in Wisconsin, and a lot of local nurseries are carrying their potting soil.
Okay.
And it's got cow manure composted in it. It's got a lot of good stuff.
I even tried a place that sold horse manure. And I had to stay away from it because later on I found out through Mother Earth News that Monsanto, they treat the feed for the horses with Monsanto, and Monsanto ends up it neutralizes your garden for 3 continuous years, and I was having problems with that, so I don't buy a horse anymore.
I think, you know, go for one of those for your pots, you know, a certified organic potting soil.
Yeah, okay. And I was also mentioning Purple Cow.
That's a great one.
I know that Midwest Ground Covers does a couple of good mm-hmm. mixes. Mm-hmm. You can look on the bag to find out if they're certified organic. They mm-hmm. may not necessarily be all certified organic. Some of them use organic processes, but they're not certified organic.
That's right.
But, you know, see... I think Gene and I are on the same page. We like some of the custom houses that make potting mixes rather than...
Right, like Miracle-Gro makes a potting soil.
Yeah.
And I really try to steer an organic one, even a certified organic one. But I'd rather see you go with a more boutique and, if possible, local source for it, which we have more and more of.
Hey, John, would you like a couple of tickets to the Good Food Festival? John?
He dropped.
Oh, we lost him.
John, call back.
If he calls back, he's got a couple of tickets to the Good Food Festival.
Call back to the station, John, and give us your info.
So there you go. And again, that's part of the deal when you're talking to people about soils and gardening. You got to know what they're talking about. You have to be on the same page. Are we talking a container?
Right.
Are we talking in the ground?
Yeah, because they're very different.
And you really should not use that pile of compost that I talked about from like Lake Street and put it in a pot. You need what they call soilless mixes, all right? Mm-hmm. And it seems contradictory, but they are often called soilless mix because it has peat or it has something like that or core in there to keep it light and, as you said, absorb water. And so, you know, I have to admit, I'm not a fan of the ones with the fertilizer already in them. I'd rather do that myself, too.
I'm with you.
Totally. Okay, that is Gene Nolan. Here in at Colatex, she's the author of From the Ground Up, A Food Grower's Education in Life, Love, and the Movement That's Changing the Nation. It got published last year, and it's still out there. Taiwan has just picked it up. They're going to publish it in Taiwan, which is cool. She is speaking at the Good Food Festival on Saturday, March 15th. I hope you can go there. And to her right, of course, we have Jill Niewoner from Mama Grows. We've been talking about inoculated logs and mushrooms. Again, if you have any more questions, 773-763-9278. In the meantime, you need to come to Colatex. Stop by and enter the contest to win a loaf of bread a week.
For the remainder of the year.
For the remainder of the year. See, Kathleen's smiling now because I got that. And I'm going to remind you also to go online to my website, MikeNovak.net. Go to the homepage and see Attack of the Killer Asparagus. It's my brand new Kickstarter to... You like that title?
That is a great title.
Thank you.
Really. And I know how hard one works to get a title.
Yeah.
Titles are hard, aren't they?
Oh, so hard.
Yeah. You'll know this, Jill, when you
like
get your first
book. It's like naming a
child
when I write my first book.
It is.
Yeah.
I found it harder than naming a child by far. Because then you need the subtitle.
Well, you have to put words together.
Oh.
A kid is one name.
Give me a kid to name any time over a book.
You can pick a family member to cheat for half of it.
And like you, I also have a subtitle. It's Attack of the Killer Asparagus and Other Lessons Not Learned in the Garden.
Fantastic. That's great. I can't wait.
I've been talking all winter since January, about all the plants I killed. I have been killing plants at an incredible rate this winter. I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm killing plants. Oh, well. And right here, we got an audience right here. I want to give away a couple of pairs of tickets to the Good Food Festival as well. So here's what I'm thinking. What's today? March 2nd. Whose birthday is the closest to March 2nd right now here for somebody who wants to go to the Good Food Festival? That's how simple it is. And we got anybody?
Nobody's sure. Actually, who's interested? You're May 20th?
May
20th. May 20th? Do you want to go?
Oh, we have a January 23rd.
Oh, you are going to the festival?
Have you already got your tickets?
You got two tickets. We'll get you two tickets.
All right.
I will get you the information when we're done here. We need to wrap this up because I know this is just going
already?
So
we need to,
I know.
We needed to be here for
so quickly.
4 hours.
We didn't even get to all those other 10 lists. All right, give me, in 30 seconds, which vegetables, Gene, you think people should grow because they're easy and fun?
Cucumbers, beans, lettuce, tomatoes, and peppers. There you go.
That's sort of your standard list.
I think those are good.
But cucumbers, I found out recently, cucumbers have a lot going for them.
They do, and there's so many different types. My daughters love lemon cucumbers. At our garden in the zoo, we grow a baby gherkin cucumber. It's a teeny little thing, and they're so fun and delicious. So I think cucumbers are great fun, and they're really different when you grow them and eat them fresh picked. They're juicy. They almost drip. with liquid. They're so good and crunchy and yummy.
Well, it sounds like it's fun for kids.
Oh, yes, definitely. I think gardening with kids is a really important, fun, good thing to do.
We do it in our community garden all the time.
Right?
It's pretty amazing and rewarding. Now, Jill, new owner, what mushrooms do you like? You like shiitakes because you grow them. But do you like all kinds of mushrooms?
I like all mushrooms, but shiitakes are my favorite. I like portobellas. Mm-hmm. I have grown those in sawdust, and those are my favorite.
Well, if folks want more information about, because you said you're going to be doing the workshop in the summer, but you're also doing the workshop at the Good Food Festival, they should go to mamagrows.com. They should also go to... my website to look up the Good Food Festival and the information. Gene Nolan's going to be there teaching organic gardening. It's going to be a fabulous time. Folks, there's so much energy on that Saturday at Good Food Festival, and I'm going to be there saying hi to people.